right, you got your Bibles. That was that. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Y'all got that? And if you have a Bible with pages, then stick your finger there and then flip over to Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. If you have an electronic Bible, then, well, you just got to punch the scripture in later. Amen? Y'all got it? If you got it, stick your fingers in your Bible, your electronic devices, put them high in the air. Let's say our biblical affirmation. It's not biblical. It's just a good one. How about that? Let's say our affirmation together. Amen? Okay, everybody don't have it. Look, because anybody don't have the hand. Okay, there we go. Let's go. Y'all ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, we're going to be reading these two passages together. We are in the middle of our series called Deliver Me. This is, how many of y'all had a rough time with last week's message on food and eating? Nobody said amen. Nobody cared about that message. That was a good message. You ain't got to like me. That was from the throne room. We talked last week that if we want to see deliverance, that we have to start at the very basic natural level, which is beginning to learn how to control our food. And when we control our food choices, we're telling our flesh no. When you tell your flesh no, it gets used to hearing you say no. So when it comes to you saying no in other areas, like, no, we're not going to buy that dress, your flesh will say, okay, because I'm used to it. But if you can eat whatever you want, when you want, when you say no to buying that dress, your flesh starts rising up against you. Get the tape. It's a good one. That's one that I think you might have to listen to a couple of times because it was just so much. Well, okay, anyway. Y'all ready? Today, I'm going to talk to you guys today about the essential key to walking in deliverance. The one thing, and let me tell you something. I had a whole nother message planned for today. And this morning at about 7 o'clock this morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up and it was like, that's it. That's what I've been oh, my goodness. Like, it was like one of those things, you know, you ever just kind of been saying, God, I'm looking. You ever been looking for something, you can't find it, and then you just all of a sudden find it, and it's like you got this joy. Like, yes. I mean, you've looked in the same places. You've looked all on the couch, underneath the bed. You've been looking in the same places over and over again, but one day you just wake up, and you just go right to it, and it's in the place it's always been. This message is one of those things where I was like, God, I feel like I'm missing something when it comes to deliverance. I feel like there's something that we either, you know, I like to have steps of things that we can do. I know that you can pray over us and we can get delivered immediately, but there's, guys, something missing. And this morning at 7 o'clock this morning, I kid you not, I shot up out of my bed straight up and I said, that's the key. That's it. And it's so simple. But I'm going to show you today how it will change and bring about deliverance and help you to stay free and help you to walk. Remember, I told you there's some things as Christians that we are doing that we don't want to do and we don't know how to stop doing. I think this one is it. This one will, if you grab hold of this, it'll walk you right out. And somebody say amen. Y'all ready for that? All right, here we go. Keys to walking. It's only one. I ain't got but one key. But let's read the scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:10. This is our base scripture. Let's read together. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. And then let's go to Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. Ready? If you don't have it, it's on the screen. Cheat and look at the screen. Ready? Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. I'm going to tell you, just right now, I'm not even going to play around with it. Here is the essential key to walking in deliverance. Here's the essential key to getting free. It's giving thanks. Y'all are like, that's not exciting. I'm going to prove to you that giving thanks unlocks and releases freedom, and freedom from bondage and captivity, that it brings deliverance in your, I'm going to prove it to you. So I'm giving you what I'm going to talk about today. So, I mean, those of you who are like, I don't want to stay in here, that's fine, but you're going to miss the beauty of why I'm telling you thanks, because this is the message. It's one point, give thanks. Write that down, give thanks. Okay, how do I get free Give thanks. How do I stay free? Give thanks. How do I walk in my deliverance? All right, now you got that, but let me prove it to you. This passage, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, is the focal passage where we said he who delivered us, that means the past deliverance on the cross from death. That means that he delivered us from the power of sin, which means that we are free from the enemy. He does deliver us, which means there's a present tense. He's freeing us right now. And then we trust that he will deliver us. That means he'll keep us from the presence of sin when we go to meet Jesus. So the deliverance is a process. Now check this out. This is powerful because what often happens is we forget to thank God for his past deliverance. Who has delivered us. We don't say thank you, God. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation besides today because I just said it? It's been a while. Why? Because I've been saved and, you know, that's something that's kind of in the past. But wait a second. If you spend some time thanking God for what he brought you out of a long time ago, you will begin to get infused with faith that he will bring you out of whatever you're going through now. See, you think it's a big deal. God, deliver me from my desires, from deliver me from lying, from cheating, from deliver me from having these financial challenges. Deliver me, Father. I want to get my life together. And God is saying, okay, I want to do that, but you haven't thanked me for just getting you out of sin. You haven't thanked me for saving you from the pits of hell. You haven't thanked me for bringing you out. You haven't thanked me that you even have a relationship with me. You have no thanksgiving in your heart for anything, but now you want me to just keep doing stuff for you? So many times we miss the mark because we don't say thank you to God, because we don't have an attitude of gratitude. Y'all, the kids are in the room. How many of y'all, you either have a child or you used to be a child or you know a child who was ungrateful? So you can lift your hands on either of those and nobody knows which one you're talking about, right? There is nothing worse than giving to somebody who is ungrateful. What's one of the first things, and when your kids are little, one of the first things we teach them, if somebody gives you something to say what? Say thank you. I was talking to a single mother, and what she said to me was, she said, my children don't know how to, they don't say thank you to me. They don't appreciate me. And I told her, I said, that's your fault. What you mean? They ought to know how to do that. No, they're kids. Somebody got to teach you to say thank you. And if you they mom and you never taught them to tell you thank you, we already got a problem. I teach my kids to tell me thank you. It's my birthday. Say thank you by buying me something. Some people say that's kind of self. No, that's not self-serving. That is me teaching my children how to appreciate people in their life. Their wives will be grateful. Their wives are going to be like, your mama did a doggone good job telling you how to say thank you. Yes, yes. Christmas, y'all need to go to the store. Y'all want me to take y'all to the mall? Y'all can go off by yourself. I will take you to the mall. Pastor Jen, when they were little, she used to say, Pastor, I'm going to come get your kids. I knew what she was doing, and I would say, take them. Not because I needed a break, but because they needed to learn the spirit and the attitude of gratitude. And in the church today, we don't teach about having an attitude of gratitude enough. We only teach about it on Thanksgiving holidays. And then we'd be like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for myself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then we go a full year. We say thank you. We throw a thank you up for our food. Thank you, Jesus, for the food. Amen. That's fine. That's good. But we don't live an attitude where like, man, God, thanks for giving me this food. Like, if you didn't provide this food, I'd be hungry. And we talked last week about hunger. I don't want to operate in hungry anger. Thank you, God, for bringing food at just the right time. We don't have this attitude of just saying thank you for what God has done. Now, I want to show you this throughout Scripture, that thanksgiving releases deliverance. Thanksgiving brings deliverance in your life. I'm going to show you this. Watch this. Psalm chapter 50, verse 23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. That me is capital being God. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Now, the NASB version of this passage says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Let me just pause right there. Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God is a sacrifice. Because this scripture does not say, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving when everything is great. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we ought to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you concerning Christ Jesus. Sorry, it's allergy season. But I thank God that I got a nose that I can sneeze with. Come on. It says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. When you give God praise when it hurts, when you thank God in the midst, look, not just because he just did something for you, but because he has done everything for you in the past. When you give him thanks, he says, that sacrifice honors God. God gets honored when you say thank you and you don't feel like it. God gets honored when you say thank you when you're in the midst of struggling with your finances. See, that's what tithing is really about. Tithing is really not about the money. Tithing is about you having an attitude of gratitude. Even though I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, thank you, God, for this check that came in. Even though I don't understand how I'm going to pay my rent, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I want to say thank you, God, that I got a little something in my pocket to be able to bless you and to give it to you. That's what tithing is about. It's about saying thank you. It's about an attitude of gratitude. And so many times we miss that because we say, well, what am I going to do with all this money? I could do so much with that money. No, because God could take all that money and you wouldn't have nothing. It's an attitude. He says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me in the NASB. And it says, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Now that word in the Hebrew, I looked it up because it just stuck out. I was like, we know salvation means, but we think salvation means a ticket to heaven. No, that word in the Hebrew, the first definition is deliverance. It's rescue. It's safety. It's welfare. So I'm going to read it to you with that definition in mind. The one who offers a sacrifice, that means it's hard and it's going to cost me something, to say thank you to God, honors God, and says, make a way, God, to show me how you're going to deliver. Make a way of deliverance for me. That's what this passage says. It means that if you're in a tight spot right now and you want God to deliver you from your situation, you have to make a way for God to show you that deliverance. And the way you make a way for God to show you that deliverance is by giving him thanks. God will do the deliverance, but he cannot do the deliverance until you open a way for him to come. And the way you open for him to come is through your thanksgiving. Pastor, that seems weird. No, it doesn't. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. What does that mean? The way that I get into his presence is I have to start with thanksgiving. Okay? So if I want God to show up and bring about a deliverance, I got to start saying thank you. Wait a second, Pastor. I'm confused. I don't feel like saying thank you. Anybody ask you what you felt like? Your feelings don't run nothing. You better run your feelings. Tell your feelings, shut up. We're going to thank God anyway. My situation, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Your situation don't run nothing. God does. Say thank you anyway. That's the sacrifice. I'm laying in a hospital bed. It's hard for me to say. So the reports that I got when my mother was dying, she had stage 4 cancer. And she got diagnosed and within 6 weeks she died. It was super quick. And when my mom was dying, one of the things that they told me, because she could barely talk, she was on morphine and so much medicine that she was so out of it, and they thought she was like in this medical kind of state of just kind of being gone. But my aunts, her sisters, said they would come in the room and they would just hear my mom saying, thank you, Jesus. She would just be whispering, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She didn't say much else, but those three words, thank you, Jesus. She would mumble, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm saying to myself, you're laying in a bed. You can barely be cohesive, but I think her spirit was just, thank you, Jesus. You're still good, God. You're still an amazing God. Lord, even if I don't come out of this, I thank you because you done brought me through too much. I thank you, God. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you kept me. I thank you for the food. I thank you for the clothes. I thank you for the house. I thank you brought me out of abuse. I thank you that you brought me and you changed my life. I thank you gave me the job. You gave me an education when I didn't know how I was going to make. I'm just going to lay here and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what this means, though, is the converse is true. This means that there are many situations out of which we could have been delivered if we just would have said thank you. We could have been delivered, but instead we complained. We could have been delivered, but instead we complained about the people. We complained about the devil. We complained about our situation. We even complained that God ain't good no more. And you say you could come out of this if you would stop complaining. We do it in the church. I had to repent. And this morning I sat up. The Holy Spirit said, hurry up and get on your computer. I had to go potty first, but I did that and I got on the computer. I started typing this stuff out. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to repent. Oh, Jesus, me? I like to say thank you. I think I have a good... Jesus said, no. You look at the church. And I'm grateful for every person in the church. But I'm always like, well, God, if we had more people. God, if we just could get one person who could do. God, if people... Not complaining about the people who are here. Just saying, God, if you could send some more, then maybe we could do more. God says, you know, you can't do no more because you ain't thanked me for what you already got. So in the middle of looking at your lack, start thanking me for what you got. I said, I'm so sorry, Jesus. I love the people, but I haven't thanked God for not just I thank that you're here, but just thankful that you're enough. I'm going to prove that to you, but I can't because I'm moving too fast. I got excited. Now I'm there. John chapter 6. I'm already there. Look, watch this. Jesus got miracles when he thanked God. Jesus got breakthrough and deliverance in situations when he thanked God. I'm about to prove to you. John chapter 6. Jesus has been out preaching and teaching, healing folks, and it's like 5,000 folks hanging out. And they hungry because they've been following Jesus for a long time. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he was like, these people are hungry. What should we do? They was like, look, ain't nobody got enough money to feed all them folks like that. Now, the 5,000, by the way, is just counting the men. That doesn't include the women and the children. So there's some think that crowd could have been up to 7,000, 8,000 people. But they just estimated about 5,000 because of the men. Well, Jesus said, really? You don't know what we can do? He said, well, what you got? What we got? Now, check this out. Verse 9 says this. They responded, well, there's a little boy. There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves or 5 breads and 2 small fish. In other words, we got... Deshae, can I see your bag? Can you hand me her bag? Bring me her bag. Deshae's mama packed her a little purse with a little lunch. She usually has a backpack, but we're going to take her Juicy Couture bag today. Oh, this is Amarisa's purse. Where your backpack, Deshae? She said, I don't know. Okay. Well, let's just imagine this is Deshae's. And she's a little girl. She's 2. She's coming to hear the message today, and her mom packs her snacks in here. Everybody in here done been in here and they hungry. It's 5,000 plus, 5 to 8,000 of us. And in this little bag is 5 little pieces of bread and 2 fish. Now, everybody in this room gonna eat off this bag. The disciples are like, he done lost it. He lost his little mind. Watch this. Then Jesus said, he said, make people go sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took what was inside. Watch this. Check out the next line. Don't read it too fast. And when he had given thanks. You know what? Jesus didn't take the little bag and say, this little thing ain't gonna do nothing. Jesus took what he had and he said, thank you, God, that we got 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Thank you, God, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, God, that this is more than enough to do to feed your people. Thank you, God, that you're going to feed your people today. He took the small and he said, thank you, God. This is why I said I had to confess, because it's not that I don't thank God for you, the people. It's that I don't thank God for the number of people. Here you go, Maurice. Thank you for letting me borrow you. I'm giving it back to you. I didn't touch it. Watch this. Not the inside. Watch this. Jesus said, thank you, God, for what we got. When was the last time you said, thank you, God, for what I got? I don't like my husband. I don't like my wife. When's the last time you said, thank you, God, that I have a husband or I have a wife? My kids are getting on my last nerves. When's the last time you said, thank you, God, I got kids? Because there's some people who want kids who can't have kids. I can't stand this job. I can't wait for God to deliver me from this job and bring me somewhere else. Have you ever said, thank you, God, for this job? Oh, y'all, he's missing this. Nobody wants to say that. No, God, deliver me. Take me out of this situation. I can't stand being here. He said, thank me for being in the situation. And watch what happens. If you thank him for the little, you need to check out what happens next. He said, he then distributed. He took and said, thank you, and gave it away to the disciples. And check this out. And the disciples sat down. They ate. And all the people ate. And Jesus fed over 5,000 folks, and they had extra food left. More than enough will come when you start saying thank you for what you got. I was like, oh, that might be why we're not seeing more people, because I said thank you for the number of people we got. I repent. I'm being honest. This was just this morning. I was like, God, I repent. Now, I appreciate every person, but I repent that I have not been grateful that you have sent the 75 to 100 people who show up every week. Thank you, God. Thanks, God. Could it be that God is just simply waiting for me to give thanks for what we got before he starts to release an increase? God, deliver me. God's saying, say thank you first. What I got to say thank you for? If you can't figure that out, we in the wrong conversation. The fact that you woke up, thank you, Jesus. Come on, I can go on. You can see, thank you, Jesus. You can walk, thank you, Jesus. You can hear, thank you, Jesus. You can smell, thank you, Jesus. You can talk, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody, you can touch, thank you, Jesus. You can move your arm, thank you, Jesus. You can wiggle your toes, thank you, Jesus. You can shake your hips, thank you, Jesus. I got a lot of stuff to say thank you, Jesus, for. Wait, but I got cancer in my body. Well, thank you, Jesus, that it ain't in the rest of my body. It's stage 3. Well, thank you, it ain't stage 4. I mean, we got some stuff, y'all. Deliverance has been held up because we can't say thank you. When we thank God for what we have, just like in this passage, God will make what we have more than enough. I don't really think that God increased the food. I just think he just stretched that food. Because he's able to multiply it and stretch it in a way. Like, I think that we got enough right here in the church right now to do everything that God is calling us to do. I think God can stretch us, shape us, mold us, make us, move us so that we got enough to do what everything God's called us to do. He can make more than enough out of what you got. Y'all ever did that? You know, your mamas used to do it all the time. Mama didn't have a whole lot of money, so one of the things that mamas could do was take the same beans and rice. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. My mama could make like 5 different meals out of one neck bone. Y'all don't even know what a neck bone is, do you? Do you know what a neck bone is? It's a bone in the neck of the cow. It's a neck bone. It had like very little meat in it, but I remember my mom would take that neck bone because they were some of the cheaper parts. My mom would take it and she would put it in some greens and we would eat that with cornbread and that would be one day. And then my mama would take that same neck bone, because you don't throw the neck bone away. She would take that same neck bone out, and she would, like, make some beans, and she would put it, because the neck bone brought the flavor. And she would put some beans, so you'd have beans with neck bone. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Then my mama, when she was starting to get real good, would throw some barbecue sauce on the beans, and the third day, that same neck bone, you would start sucking the meat out of it, because now you could finally, she would say, I'm done with that meat. I got 3 meals out of one neck bone. You learn how to, look, come on, somebody. When you thank God that you got the neck bone, you can do more and you can pray. You can, come on, you can get more out of it. Look, let me tell you this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. Jesus is talking to the children of Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And the Bible says that here's what God says. He says, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. That sounds like deliverance, free from enemy. He will drive those nations out before you. Check this out. Little by little. Somebody say little by little. You will be unable to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. Somebody say little by little. God's deliverance, that's why it's past, present, and future, often happens little by little. There are some things I talk to you guys about bondage. Sometimes he'll free us from instantaneously. You'll pray for it, you get free. There are some things that are in captive that you have to walk your way out based on the word of God and obedience. But watch this. When you're walking out of captivity in obedience, it happens little by little, many times. Sometimes you can't conquer it all at one time. Because if you conquer it all at one time, it's going to overwhelm you. You won't know how to handle it. So God gives it to you a little bit at a time. Watch this. But our problem is we don't praise God for the little bit at a time. So we never take the next step to get a little bit more because we haven't praised him for the little bit that we've already got. Let me see if I can help you. So we often have healing services, or we have times when people come up for prayer. And Bill Johnson talks about this, and I thought it was a great illustration. And what he says is we'll have people who come up and say, I have a neck pain in my neck. I've been having this neck pain for years. And you'll come up, and they'll pray for you to get healed. And where you could not move your neck at all, somebody prays for you, you can just kind of do this, just a little bit of a twitch, just a little to the side. And people will say, well, see, I'm still not healed. And Bill Johnson said, wait a second. Have you praised God that you can move it just a little bit more? Because you couldn't do that before you got prayed for. You're missing the fact. Now, maybe God will bring the whole complete healing if you praise him that you got to move it just a little bit. Then the Holy Spirit got me again. He said, you need to repent. I said, again? What the heck I do now? The Holy Spirit said that, because I had been praying for years for God to bring deliverance and to help me to walk in divine health. I've been praying. A lot of people don't understand, but this ain't been like a just yesterday kind of prayer. I've been praying for years, something like 15 years, for God to help me with my health and to walk and hold, especially after my mom passed away, because it was kind of like, I want to be around for a long time. My husband passed away. I got to walk in divine health. But I struggled with it for so long. And then last year, I started working out. Y'all know that. And so since April of last year, I started working. It's been almost exactly a year. And I've lost 10 pounds in a year. See, wait. Y'all get excited about that. I be getting mad. Let's be real. Hold on, God. I've been working my butt off at the gym. I've made so many changes in my eating. Now, they're not perfect, but, you know, I cook more. We meal prep more. Now, we don't do it every day, but we're getting better. And I'm sitting here like, and this is the result you're giving me, God? God said, you need to repent. I was like, why? He said, because I'm bringing you out little by little, and you're not thanking me for the little that I have done. You're not, when people will say, Pastor, you look good. You're losing weight. I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm just, you know, I haven't really lost any weight, maybe inches, you know. God says, shut up. That is complaining. That's arrogant. That's mean. You need to sit there and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Look, thank you, God, that I worked out four times last week. Thank you, God, that I added some extra stuff. Thank you, God, that I cooked this week. Maybe I didn't cook last week, but I cooked this. Thank you, God, that you're bringing me out. Thank you, God. Look, the scale didn't go backwards. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Come on. There's some stuff that I need to start thanking God for. And maybe God said, if you just start praising me for what I'm doing right now and say thank you for what I'm doing right now, then maybe I'll release you to take the next step and lose more. But see, I can't do that because you got an attitude where you grumbling and you complaining and you nasty and you just saying that this ain't enough. Look, shush your mouth, girl, and start giving me thanks and praise. That's why it's a sacrifice to give him thanks when I do that. I'm looking at my budget and I'm saying, okay, God, look, I started tithing and I'm still broke. God said, well, then start thanking me that you started tithing because you ain't tithed a month ago. I have $100,000 in debt and all I paid off is $500. You better thank me you paid the $500 off because I can't move you to pay the $100 until you start thanking me for the $500. Come on, y'all. We have got to start saying thank you, God, for every little movement and thing that God does in our life, because that is what's going to walk us right on out and make us free and healed and delivered and whole. tell you something else. Jesus not only gave thanks for the food. Do you not know Jesus gave thanks before he went to the cross? Let me show it to you. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 19. The night before Jesus gets ready to go to the cross, Jesus is saying thank you. That's some deep stuff. He know he about to die tomorrow. But you got a thanksgiving in your heart? I'm sorry. I was like done with that one. Watch this. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he know he about to go through hell. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Watch verse 17. Then he took the cup. What's the Bible say he did? And gave thanks. This the last meal I'm going to eat before I die. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the drink and I'm going to say, thank you, God. Wait a minute. This cup represents my blood. And what did Jesus say? Thank you, God. You might be facing some very challenging situations. You know they're hard. You know they're difficult. You know it's going to be a struggle. You know it's going to cost you stuff. But in the middle of it, before it even comes to pass, can you lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus? He took the cup and he said, thank you. And the Bible tells us in a couple verses later, and verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks for that too. He gave thanks. I'm sitting there going, this is the last meal I'm going to eat. I'm going to be like, I'm going to need you, Jesus, to give me more food. That's not, my thought is not to say thank you for what I'm getting. Maybe I say it out of ritual because that's what we say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless him. Maybe finish my bite. Jesus' name, amen. Maybe that's the ritual, but it's really not a heart of gratitude. The cross was before him, he gave thanks. The people were hungry, he gave thanks. God heard his prayer, he gave thanks. Watch this. He gave thanks again. Check this out. John chapter 11, verse 38. This is when Lazarus, his good friend, died. So he comes to the tomb after his good friend Lazarus died. And the Bible says in verse 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, he was upset, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Wait, did I miss him? Okay, yeah. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time, he'd been dead for four days. He's going to be stanky. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. Now, Lazarus is still inside dead. Check out the rest of this verse. Jesus lifts up his eyes while the man is in there dead 4 days. The stench is coming out. He lifts his eyes and he says, Father, I thank you. And let me tell you why I thank you, that you have heard me. Wait, that's past tense. We ain't even talking about the fact that you're hearing me right now. He says, Father, I thank you that, look, whatever I talked to you in the past, you done heard me. You ever just thank God that he heard your prayers in the past? I thank you, God, when I didn't know how I was going to make it, that you heard me. I thank you, God, when I cried out and I said some stuff that wasn't glorifying to you, you still heard me. I thank you, God. Come on, somebody. Jesus, before the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead ever happened, gave thanks to God right there. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And verse 42, and I know that you always hear me. You don't know what you're about to do in a situation. You need God to do a miracle. Before you even pray, say, thank you, God, that I know you have always heard me. Some of us are struggling to hear God's voice because we haven't thanked God that God has heard us in the past. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. He heard you in the past. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll hear you today. So before you even ask him, just start saying, I thank you that you've already, you heard my prayers in the past. I thank you, you've always heard me. I thank you, you listen to me. I thank you, God, you care about what I'm talking about in my prayer. I thank you, God, that you haven't left me by myself, but that you're listening to me. I thank you, God, that we have an intimate relationship where you talk to me and I talk to you. I thank you, God. And now you can say, okay, now come on, watch this. He said, I'm doing this because I want them to believe. And then he go on and start saying, Lazarus, get out. And the man comes out and he starts popping like this because he was all wrapped up in clothes. What preceded the miracle? Thanksgiving. What preceded the deliverance from the grave? Thanksgiving. What preceded the abundance of stuff flowing and food flowing? Thanksgiving. What preceded the suffering of the cross? Thanksgiving. What's going to precede your deliverance? Miracles happen when Jesus gave thanks. Deliverance took place when Jesus gave thanks. But let me tell you this. Philippians 4:6 says this. Be anxious for nothing. Stop tripping off the future. Stop tripping off what's going on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, he says, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. How are you? Look, when you are worried about something and you don't know how you're going to come out, the Bible says, how are you supposed to pray about it? With thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know how else to say this. Okay, let me show you another scripture because y'all don't really believe me. Psalm chapter 40, verse 5. I love this one. David starts off declaring the goodness of God. In Psalm chapter 40, he says, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works. He start off thanking God, which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. He said, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This is his prayer. He's like, I got so much. Even if I tried to put a list together, it's too many. There's not enough numbers to cover all the things that I have to thank you for, God. And then he goes down in verse 13 because he starts off with thanksgiving. But then verse 13, he said, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. You know what that prayer was really about? God, get me out of this situation. God, deliver me. God, bring me through this. But he starts off by saying, your works are so wonderful. They're so marvelous. I got too much to count and say thank you for. And then he goes down about seven verses later and say, deliver me. And then verse 17, he says, look, I'm jacked up. I'm poor. I'm needy. Watch this. But before he even continues, it's a sign of thanks. He's like, but yet the Lord thinks about me. He's giving thanks that God thinks about him. I've never thanked God for thinking about me. Hey, God, thanks for thinking about me today. If you don't know what to thank God for, I mean, we got like a million plus, a thousand, because there are so many Google number kind of stuff. So here's the deal. Someone once said this. They said, giving thanks is not a small prayer you chant before receiving a meal. It's a way you live. The life of Christ stands in equality with this principle. He lived a life of giving thanks by surrounding every moment with thankfulness and praise. What is the key to your deliverance? Give thanks. Come on and stand to your feet. I think we need to do that. I think we need to start saying thank you, God. And I don't just want you, look at me, listen to me. Sometimes we go the cheap route. You know how you can offer a sacrifice and it costs you something, and some costs can be more than others. Some of our cheap sacrifices, just thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's good if that's all you can say, just thank you, God. But I think today you need to be specific. I need, watch this. What comes out of your mouth is so important because the Bible says death and life are in the power of your tongue. And so what I want us to do for a couple of minutes, not too many, I don't know, is just to say thank you, Lord, and to be specific. Thank you, Father God. And I need, you know, if you know Jesus, I need you to do this. If you don't know Jesus and this message hits you, do it anyway and come see one of our prayer team up. And if you want to know how to give your life to Jesus, they'll talk to you. But everybody, children, adults, and if you have a child and you don't think your child can understand this, tell them we just gonna start saying thank you. My children and I used to do this when I had to drive them to school. We used to say three things we have to praise the Lord for or to thank God for. And you can't repeat what somebody else say either, which means it's costing you something. Because you got to start thinking. So I want you to take a couple minutes. And everybody, children, adults, can you just start thanking God for something? Be specific. I thank you, God, for my family. You can't use that because I just said it. Thank you, God, for my home. Come on. Just begin to start. Come on, lift that music up. What the music got? Give me something. I don't care. Come on, just begin. Begin to sacrifice out of your mouth, out of your breath. Look, you shouldn't care what other people say because it's a sacrifice. Thank you, Father God. Get loud if you need to. If you don't, you're not ready to get that loud. Just make sure the words are coming out of your mouth. Move your lips and begin to say, thank you, God. Thank you for my health. Thank you, God, I can wiggle my toes. Thank you, God, I can lift my hands. Thank you, God, that I can shout hallelujah. Thank you, God, that I have a voice. Thank you, God, that my voice works. Thank you that I don't have a cold today. I can just thank you that I got delivered. Thank you for delivering me from colds. Thank you, Father, from delivering me from the flu. Thank you, God, from releasing me of that fever that I had. Thank you, God, that that didn't turn into pneumonia that could have destroyed me and killed me. Thank you, Father God, that I'm not in the hospital today, that I'm able to come out. Thank you, God, that the sun is shining. Thank you, God, that we got over that drought we had. I know we want to complain about the rain, but I thank you that we're not in a drought no more. Thank you, Father God, that I got a car. And thank you, God, if I don't have a car, I got a bus pass. Thank you, God, if I don't got a bus pass, I got a friend who gave me a ride. Thank you, God, if I don't have a friend that gave me a ride, I got a bike. Thank you, God, I got a way of getting around. Thank you, God, if I don't have a bike, I got 2 feet that I can walk and get where I need to. Thank you, God, for my job. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much I pay. I thank you, God, that you're putting food on my table. I thank you, God, that a check is coming. I thank you, God, that you're moving in my life. I thank you, God, for my children. I thank you, God, for my spouse. I thank you, 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 I thank you. Come on, just begin to give them some praise and say thank you. I hear the Holy Spirit saying something. I hear the Holy Spirit saying something. What if your breakthrough and the depth of your breakthrough, the depth of your release, the depth of your deliverance is directly proportional to the depth of your thanksgiving? Which means, I hear God say, show me how bad you want to come out by offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. How bad you want to get out of this? That ought to be how much you give me praise and thanksgiving. That ought to be the depth of the gratitude in your heart. That you can't grumble and complain when you're saying thank you. So let's try this again. Come on, let's go in again. Thank you, Jesus. Find something. Thank you, God, for the toilet. My kids said that once. Best thank you prayer ever. Thank you for toilet paper. So y'all don't say, thank you for the toilet paper. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for the grass on the ground so when I walk, it's not so hard. Thank you, God, for the shoes. Not just one pair, but the multiple pairs that you have given me. Thank you, Father God, for the shirt, the jacket that I have on, the dress, the pants. Thank you, Father God, for my jewelry. Look, it might not be real, but it's not. Thank you. I got something to stick in the holes on my ear. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I got hair on my head. I'm not bald. And if I'm bald, I'm thank you that I got a head that's covering my brain. Thank you. I got skin up there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for my eyesight. Even if I got to wear glasses, thank you that I got glasses. Thank you that I got contacts. Thank you. Come on. Let's just thank him. Thank you. What do you have to thank God for? Just thank him. I declare over you that as you walk in an attitude of gratitude, as you give God thanks, I declare over you that deliverance will be released. And I declare that if you stifle your thanksgiving, I sense that there's some areas where you've been stifling your thanksgiving and it's preventing your release. We command right now that thanksgiving be loosed so that your deliverance can be loosed. You can come out of this, watch this little by little, never to return back to the old way again. In Jesus' name. Somebody give God a praise. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you. Ooh, I hear God saying, stop saying it's hard and start praising me and say thank you. I just heard that too. Stop saying I can't do this and start thanking God that you can do all things. I don't know, I'm trying to let it go, but I just keep hearing these little things pop in my ear. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. When people ask how you're doing, may your response be...
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.